Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, is from our epistle reading, St. Paul's letter to the churches in Ephesus, the first chapter, verses 3 through 14. And I will read it as we go, but this is the word of the Lord, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When someone says that you're wet behind the ears, it means you are inexperienced, young, a newborn. Well, I hope so. You see, Jesus makes it plain that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these babes in arms that have been brought to him, that he has touched with his words, with that word-filled particular water. So dripping wet, yes, right from the baptismal font. Jesus is clear. He tells us that we must become like little children, like those little children, just like when we were baptized. We must have the faith of little children, the kind he gives in words in that water. Here we must remain and stay under the flowing waters of our baptism all our lives, having that same faith that was given there, flowing in with and under the water by the word and the washing that comes by the word. His word preached, read and sung, heard in with and under. Yes, that is if we desire ever to enter heaven. Truth. This is what Paul in our text is talking about. This is how Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is where he makes us to be holy and blameless before him. This is how we get to be in him, where we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That was verse 7. And we begin 8 here. He says, which he lavishes upon us. But it seems that we have this image in our minds for some reason of these children to be at least 5 or 6 year old or older when Jesus talks like this, don't we? And yes, they could be, I suppose, because even 5 or 6 year olds, they still believe almost anything. And that is why we adults should be telling them the truth, God's truth, so they, at such an impressionable age, believe the right things. That we should be contradicting the world's, the devil's so-called truth, and you know what that so-called truth is. Lies. But what Jesus is talking about is even more startling, even harder for us to accept who he means, I mean, when he tells everyone that his kingdom belongs to these children. He is not talking about those around 5 or 6. That is not the word Jesus uses here or there. It's from the gospel, a gospel reading. The word used is infant. And it is the infants, the children who are brought to him, that he touches, that he blesses by word and water, that his kingdom belongs. It belongs to little ones alone, no matter how old that infant may be, whether 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years. No adults allowed, you know. No, we must remain wet behind the ears and have to believe everything and anything that he says, that he has had written down for us in his word. That's, in this modern age, that's a lot to ask. You mean everything? Everything? anything and everything, just like the ones who have been just baptized. This is the kind of truth that is only believed or only grasped. And we say, well, infants can't. Really? I think we're learning that it's not the case. But anyways, but it's only this kind when we're talking about God's word and God's promises and God's gifts, only can be grasped by revelation of the Holy Spirit through his word and sacrament. Not like adults that come to believe in the architecture that came out of communism. Very so-called practical, but ugly as all get out. And those houses of that famous architect, Frank Lloyd Wright, they can't be lived in comfortably. They look good, but make lousy homes. Or as Vermonters are often heard saying, you can't get there from here. Faith comes by hearing, from words, from the word of God as we passively sit and receive it, as those infants are held and receive it when he brings it with the very faith for us to believe what he says in it about himself and about us. And this comes to us where and when he pleases. In only a very few places that he has picked for the church to use. So this is what comes by water. And this is what St. Paul is talking about in our text. All of it is coming to us from these very vehicles, these means, this media of grace, all according to the riches of his grace. To finish verse 7, but there is more. And this is not just a few sprinkles and a few words. St. Paul goes on in a torrent of words, reflecting a torrent of water that does not even come close to that ever-rushing flow of that river of eternal life in which we even now walk in. He does it, Paul does this in the letter to the Colossians too. It's a huge picture of the huge amount of blessings of this mighty river. No, this is rich grace, deep, unending, bottomless. This is that which, verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth, that big. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him. We're talking about all time here. The purpose of him who works all things. That's all things. All things. Beginning in the beginning and ending in the ending. What is all? What makes up all things? All things according to the counsel of his will. His all-encompassing will. Do you believe it? What is in the way? Our adultness is in the way. Yes, all too often. But hear it. Hear it again and again. Believe it now. Just like those little ones who just take it in, anything and everything that their parents say and do, because that is all they can do, right? That is all they see and hear and touch. That is the very reason at times God brings us to such places in life. Well, if we live long enough, we sort of become infants again, don't we? Dependent. Dependent. Places with no way out but him. But what else do our little ones know? They cannot even walk. They cannot talk. They are dependent. They don't know any better, thank God. But we shouldn't either. It's a scary thought. A frightening act to put that much trust, that much of our personal, our private, our life weight to lean on someone that much. That's frightening. But sometimes that is all we can do. God has purpose in that. Thank God for that. Because there is no knowing better than what he says and what he does. All this, yes, from a little water and a few words. Just as the little ones have to take what is given, eat what is fed to them, hear what sounds that are around them. What other choice do we have? Because in fact, there are no other words of eternal life out there at all. There are no other gods to turn to. There is him, or is there is nothing and no one else. This is the case for anyone and everyone. God must, or we won't, can't, and don't. But he does not wait. He turns to us. He reaches out and moves the unmoving, the dead, the stones, which he makes to praise him, as well as it will be the infants that he has prepared praise. The psalmist tells us that. Jesus quotes that from the mouths of infants and nursing babies. Yes, truth to be told, truth be known. In the end, adults have to be carried by Jesus as well. In the end, adults. If you won't be carried into heaven, you won't be going. I mean, really, that is what happens a lot anyways. Little control do we have in this life. We just don't like to admit it, do we? Yet don't get me wrong, as adults and yes, even young children sin on purpose. We do have some control and some responsibility. Well, more than we would like to admit. A whole lot we are to blame for. The problem for us is where and when. We have control of things we say we don't, and then we say we don't when we do. But you can't control God. You can't choose God. You can't change yourself. Yet you can put yourself where God says he is, in church. You can put your kids where God chooses us to begin with, in church. Feeds you himself, with himself, in church. You can also take yourself away from those things and places that are the hardest to resist temptation in. You can teach your children. Be example to those around you. You can have influence using God's word where you have influence. And that is another place we seem to like to deny, as everyone has some influence on someone, if not a lot of someone's, sometime, if not a lot of the time. The best influence we can have is with God's word, which actually does the work, does the changing, does what needs to be done, that which we could never do. This we seem to forget, and we deny it. We refuse to believe that because it doesn't make any sense to us. How can simple words, how can a little bit of water, so we don't use it, we won't use it, we avoid that. We think of great marketing methods and other things, thinking that all sorts of these other things are what really do the trick, that really work and really influence people and change things. Yes, even in the church, well, they don't. So come back to the waters. Dive in, get soaked, stay there. Become little ones again. Because it is there, it is here, that we are also, verse 13, in him. When we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. But that is the problem with us older people. Older, I mean, beyond the age of 5 or 6, in accepting what God has given us at face value, for nothing, not earned by us, like a helpless child. Pride comes before the fall. There is no pride, not real pride anyways, in children. That is a learned thing later on. Yet pride keeps us away. Pride makes us think we can, or that we are supposed to anyways. Or because, well, the older we get, the more we have experience, right? And the more we have embraced sin, the more sin we have done, the more we have seen in this life, and know that you don't get anything for nothing. Why would God? Why should He give us anything for free? No one else does. There is always a catch. Always fine print, always payback in the end. This we believe. Yes, for adults. Not so for children. That is what we do, make, arrange, even insist on later in life. But God says, if you insist, you won't be allowed into play, to live, to have, to be part of His kingdom. Because the real truth, which children are ready to believe, is that Jesus has already paid for it all, for all of us, infinitely and eternally. You want back in? Set the pride aside. Set all your supposed worldly experience down. Repent, get humble, give it up, stop counting. You are already in the negative. You will never catch up. Jesus is more than enough, though. So give up. Ollie, in free. Say, Uncle, already, be carried in. Let God wash you in His water. Be clean. Be hand-fed again. Be taught by Him, not the world and its so-called wisdom. Be a child again. Your big brother has your back. He's watching out for you. He will not let the bully or any bully do you harm. How many would say, yeah, but what about what happened last night? What about? I am the resurrection and the life. That's what Jesus responds. Even though you die, yet shall you live. He has already taken all that Himself. Got bruised and bloodied enough for the entire human race. For you, little one. So you in or not? Because little ones to Him belong. We are weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yes, that is enough. Believe it. Amen.